So we've sung some carols and we've heard some songs being sung. And we've heard some words from the Bible telling us about the story of the birth of Jesus. And it's important now that we take just a short time to reflect on why it all matters to us this year as we celebrate Christmas. We've probably got a lot still to do on our to-do lists. We may still have presents to buy and wrap and shopping to do. But it's good we can come here this evening and pause and reflect on why we do any of this in the first place. I want you to imagine, first of all, for a moment, imagine this scene. It's Boxing Day, and you're travelling to family somewhere, you're travelling in a car to family somewhere, and you're going down the motorway, and suddenly your car breaks down. It stops working. You don't know what the problem is, you just know that the car that was previously transporting you forwards is no longer doing that, and you're stuck in the hard shoulder of the motorway. And it's late on Boxing Day, it's dark, it's cold, it's snowing, and you've got 9 screaming children in the back of the car. They're not your children, you don't know where they've come from, but they're there, screaming, and it's dark and it's late, and you just want to get to your destination. It's snowing and you're cold, and you're really not feeling very happy. And then you remember that you're a member of the RAC. And within a matter of minutes, you look down the road and you see coming towards you the bright orange van of hope. Coming towards you down the road, and you see the van getting closer and closer and closer. You see your rescue getting closer and closer. And as the van comes towards you, it slows down, gets closer, and you're really excited that soon you're going to be rescued. The van gets closer and slows down a bit more, and the van pulls up alongside you, and the driver winds down the window and shouts, "You need to fix your car," and then drives off. And when you eventually get home, 3.5 days later, you get a survey through by email. Some of you may have had this kind of service. How would you rate our service? You recently were in a breakdown. How would you rate our service? On a scale of 1 to 10, what did you think of the quality of service you have from your breakdown provider? What score would you give the person who came to meet you? I suspect probably lower than 8, would that be fair? Probably quite a bit lower than 8. I imagine you'd probably start changing your breakdown provider and move to someone other than the RAC. Now, that story doesn't come out of any, I should clarify this, doesn't come out of any personal history with the RAC. I've had nothing but good service from them until I switched to a different provider. And nor am I being paid this evening by the AA to say any of this. But it's just one example of how there are some situations in life where we need something more than advice. There's some situations in life where we need something more than just someone shouting advice through a window. You need someone to get out of the van and stand with you in the cold and sort out the problem that you cannot fix yourself. If you're drowning in a swimming pool, you don't need the lifeguard to stand at the edge of the pool shouting out instructions on how to swim. You need the lifeguard to dive into the pool and to come alongside you and pull you out. There are some situations where we need something more than advice. And we've heard the Christmas story this evening again, and it is a story that's filled with advice. Advice like, if you're travelling while pregnant, remember to reserve a place in the inn in advance. That kind of advice. But the main reason God sent his son into this world was not to give us advice. God didn't send his son into the world that first Christmas 2,000 years ago just to give us advice. He sent his son to give us hope. In that Christmas story that we've heard again this evening, we see a God who has come down to us where we are, to do what we couldn't do ourselves, to give us hope that we couldn't get alone. And I want to just take about 10 minutes to explore why that hope is good news for us this Christmas, all of us in this room. Good news for you, good news for us. And I want to go back to one of the readings that was read by Helen earlier on from Matthew, speaking about an angel appearing to Joseph. And some of the words will appear on the screen behind me of this announcement that the angel makes. And there's one really exciting word on that slide behind me in those words. There's one really exciting word. But before we get to the exciting words, we need to think about what the problem is that we have as humans. If I use the example of the RAC person coming when we've had a breakdown, or the lifeguard coming to rescue us when we're drowning, what's the problem that first Christmas was designed to solve? What was the rescue that we're talking about? God didn't send his son into the world because our cars break down, but because something else has broken down. Our relationship with God. Our relationship with the God who made us. Our relationship with the God who made us has broken down. The Bible is clear that the only reason any of us are here this evening in Lytchard Mission singing carols is because of God. Without God, there would be no world for us to live in. There would be no Bridge End for us to be in. There would be none of us here. He's made us. And there'd have been no one in the past given the skills to make this building or to hand cut out these stars that are dangling from the ceiling. And there'd be none of us who'd have breath in our lungs to be able to breathe and come here tonight. Without God, none of us would be here. We depend on God every minute of every day. And how do we respond to him? Most of the time, we don't even give him a thank you note. We don't even acknowledge the fact that everything we have comes from him, even the breath that I'm breathing now to speak these words. We don't even give him a thank you note. And even worse than that, we often live as if God doesn't exist at all. We just want to do things our own way, do life on my own. Even though I've been made in the image of God, by God, in God's world. All humans throughout history have been the same, so often refusing to live as God created us to live. And that's the problem that we have on the screen in the word sins. That Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Sins is the issue here, the problem. Sins, our attitude towards God, where we don't give him the thanks we should have done, where we don't live as he's created us to live, where we don't acknowledge him as being God, and the way that shows itself in the way we live and speak and relate to each other and relate to God, sins. That's the problem. Our relationship with God is broken down. That shows itself in sin. And if that situation remains unresolved, if that relationship remains broken, then the Bible tells us that we're heading towards a broken eternity, away from God. God, who's a source of all good, away from him, shut out from him, just darkness forever. That's why the Christmas story is so serious. We all have this problem naturally that our relationship with God is broken down. We haven't lived as we should have done. And if nothing happens about that situation, then we're heading towards a broken eternity. And how does God respond to that situation? When he looks down from heaven and sees all of these humans who don't give him the thanks that they should do, who don't acknowledge him as they should do, who don't live as he's created them to live, how does God respond? Does he just send down an angel to declare to us, you made the mess, you can get yourself out of it? Does he send down an angel just to shout some advice at us about how we can sort our lives out and then maybe God will like us and let us into heaven? No, God doesn't respond like that. He doesn't respond just by shouting down some advice and instructions for life from heaven. That would never work. nothing would change that way. Our relationship with God is so broken. We've gone so far from him. God doesn't respond like that. Instead, what we find the first Christmas, what we've sung about and heard this evening, that God came down to solve the problem himself. The exciting word on the screen is the word on the second from bottom line, that the child will be called Emmanuel. His actual name is Jesus, but Emmanuel is a title for him. Emmanuel is not an English word. It's not a word we use, but we're given what it means. It means God with us. That's what we see in Jesus that first Christmas. God come down out of heaven to stand in the cold with us, to do what we couldn't do, to rescue us. We see God diving into the pool where we are to come alongside us and to pull us to safety. He's the only one who could, the only one who can rescue us, who can deal with our sin. And he came down that first Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. And what we've heard through the readings this evening and what we've sung about in the carols, we've sung about this Emmanuel, God with us in his birth in Bethlehem, that child that was born, a baby, like any of us were babies, but with a big difference, that this was the eternal Son of God come down from heaven to earth to be with us, born among us. And then we see that child growing up in Nazareth, an ordinary place, growing up among ordinary people. We sang in the last carol, once in Royal David City, he was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us he knew. The Son of God came down and experienced all of the happy things that we experience and the sad things too. He lived among us, God with us, Emmanuel. And then we see what Emmanuel means when Jesus went to his death on the cross. That event we remember at Easter where he was executed. And when he died, something more was going on than him just being executed. The reality is that God has a right to be angry with us because of how we've lived. God has a right to be angry with us, and if he wasn't angry with us for how we've lived, then he wouldn't be a just and holy and perfect God. But at the cross, Jesus faced God's anger for us. In the place of his people, he stood and died for us in our place. And then we see Emmanuel, God with us, at the empty tomb where Jesus has risen to new life, lifting up his people, all those who trust in him, lifting us up to new life and new hope. Emmanuel, God with us, that first Christmas where we were there stranded in our sins, God came down to rescue us. And he became God with us at that first Christmas, God with us at Christmas, so he could be God with us forever. That's the wonderful, glorious hope of Christmas, that he promises to be God with us forever. He didn't just come down as a kind of package holiday to be here for a few years, do some swimming and then go back up to heaven. He came down and made a commitment to his people, all those who would trust in him. As he welcomes us into his family, makes us his brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of our Father in heaven, makes us family. And he commits himself to be with us in all of the ups and downs of life. I don't know what your last year has been like. Some of you may have had a very up year where you've had a lot to celebrate, a lot to rejoice in. Some of you may have had a very down year. And maybe they're painful memories for you this Christmas. For a lot of us, it's probably a mixture of the two. In all those things, if we know Jesus, we can know him as God with us, the one who himself has experienced pain and sadness and joys, who knows what we're going through, with us. And with us forever. But as we know Jesus, God with us? The Bible says that not even death can separate us from him. That though we'll go through physical death, our life will go on, and one day we'll be raised physically to be with God forever. And we'll know Jesus as God with us forever. So the most important question this Christmas for all of us, do you have this hope? Do you know Jesus as God with us, God with you? Do you not have that confidence of knowing God with you in all of the seasons of life you go through, that hope of God with you forever? Do you have that hope this Christmas? You've come here this evening to sing carols and to hear from the Bible, and God is announcing to you good news of a rescue for you forever, good news of a Saviour born for you, God come down to earth, Emmanuel. How will you respond this Christmas? How have you responded to Emmanuel? An important question for all of us to reflect on. And if there's anything we can help with as a church to help you reflect on that, then please speak to me or someone else you've seen at the front later on. We'd love any of you who don't have that hope to come and share that hope with us. You can celebrate what we celebrate, God with us. The good news of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Something to remember when on Boxing Day you're stranded at the side of the motorway in the snow with those screaming children waiting for the bright orange van of hope. And you stood there waiting. Remember. Remember the one who came down from heaven to meet us where we are, to do what we couldn't do, to rescue us and give us hope. And that's good news for every single one of us this Christmas. Let's pray.